Recorded Books and RB Digital present How to Die, a Book About Being Alive, by Ray Robertson, narrated by Graham Rowett. Introduction. Someone once asked me if I was ever attempted to revisit a character or a storyline from one of my novels. I could honestly say I hadn't, that it sounded like work, something I've tried hard my entire life to avoid. It also sounded boring, which for me is even worse. How can the reader be expected to care if the author doesn't? This changed after I wrote, Why Not? 15 Reasons to Live, a collection of essays completed after enduring a deep depression brought on by finishing a long, difficult novel amidst the debilitating symptoms of obsessive-compulsive disorder, a disease I've suffered from all my adult life, and which tends to manifest itself most perniciously when I've embarked upon an engrossing project. If nothing else, it's a reminder of life's ongoing irony. What tends to make me happiest also has the capacity to make me sick. How to Die, a Book About Being Alive, isn't a sequel to Why Not? 15 Reasons to Live. A better diet, more exercise, and the correct dosage of the right medication have helped me remain as psychologically healthy as possible, but rather a continuation of the conversation begun in the latter book's final chapter, Death. A conversation with whom? With myself, of course. That I graduated with high distinction with a degree in philosophy says less about my analytical reasoning skills or deep knowledge of any particular thinker or branch of philosophy than it does about my desire at the end of my undergraduate career to complete my degree so I could do something else. Simply put, philosophy, which from as far back as high school had seemed the zenith of human activities, had become a bore. There's that word again. There's been plenty of inspired and inspiring books encountered along the way. Pascal's Pensées, Simone Weil's Gravity and Grace, Martin Buber's I and Thou, nearly everything written by Nietzsche. But I came to learn these works and others like them weren't considered real philosophy by the academic community. Instead, they were dismissively lumped together as wisdom literature at best, entertaining belles lettres at worst, artsy-fartsy blather and bluster. A real philosopher was someone like Hegel, who, like the majority of his professorial brethren, wrote for other professors in a language seemingly created to deter comprehension about subjects as far removed from the everyday philosophical questions and concerns of most human beings as the ugly, ungainly style they employed was from lucid, illuminating prose. As it is with music, so it is with philosophy. If it doesn't swing, it's hard to understand the words. Or care. One of those writers of wisdom literature I discovered during these years was Montaigne, someone I continued to enthusiastically read long after I decided that fiction was a better and much more enjoyable way of taking reality's temperature. Pascal, Weil, Buber, Nietzsche, et al. Were almost always interesting and often eloquent, but there was usually the unmistakable imprint of argumentation on their work. Since they were, after all, philosophers, this was understandable, but Montaigne was a different kind of reading experience. Although he offered opinions on virtually every subject imaginable, drunkenness, mortality, reading, sleep, friendship, anger, virtue, the art of discussion, experience, fame, pedantry, idleness, vanity, praying, cowardice, etc. These ideas weren't the only fruit of his labors. Often they were the least compelling part. Montaigne was born and remained a Catholic, but his ruminations on religion and humankind's place in the universe, for example, were just that, an unflappable, unhurried exploration of every aspect of whatever subject happened to interest him, whether that led him into profundity, confusion, or even contradiction. Montaigne's biographer and one of his finest translators, Donald Frame, described Montaigne's style as free, oral, informal, personal, concrete, luxuriant in images, organic, and spontaneous in order, ranging from the epigrammic to the rambling and associative. One of the many pleasures of reading Montaigne is the sense that one is not so much reading a book as simply listening to an amiable, amusing, intellectually ecumenical human being thinking aloud about a variety.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?